I thought Danielle did a great job with the children's story, and the kids are going to be back. We are having them sing at the end of the service in the hopes that they may stick around and sing at the beginning of the next service. We'll see. I know the weather is tough today, but what I want to do is I want to share with you the scripture from Luke that tells us the story of Palm Sunday, and then I've got some reflections about that before our children come and close us out. But this is from Luke chapter 19 and verses 28 through 44. So here's what Luke says. He says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as Jesus had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, seriously, that's my addition, rebuke your disciples. Let them know that's not the right thing to do. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out. And as he had approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. He wept over it and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. And they will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, that's not the ending that you really want to hear for Palm Sunday, that Jesus is going into Jerusalem and he's weeping over this moment that they have missed. That's not what you want to hear. You know, every gospel tells the story of Palm Sunday, but all of them end it just a little bit differently or focus on a different aspect of that ending. I mean, if you read John and Mark, pretty much after they've been shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, the story kind of concludes for John and Mark. It's sort of over for them. If you read Matthew, it's really interesting. Matthew says that when Jesus came in and they were shouting, Hosanna in the highest, that the whole town was stirred and that all the people were talking amongst themselves saying, who could this be? Who is this Jesus that would receive this kind of welcome? But we know, and we've just heard, that Luke's account is more mixed. The Pharisees continue their critique of Jesus. They rebuke the disciples and say, Jesus, we can't believe that you would allow your disciples to respond this way. Jesus says, if they stay quiet, the very stones will cry out. And by the way, that's a reference to 70 AD, when the temple came tumbling down and the stones, as they fell to the ground, it was as though they were crying out for this moment that Jerusalem had missed. Now, what's also interesting is that there's something that all of these tellings of the story of Palm Sunday share in common. There's something that they all make very, very clear. And what they make clear and share in common is that as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he's not riding in as just a rabbi. He's not riding in as a prophet. He's not riding in as just a miracle worker or a teacher. No, he's riding in as more than that, far more than that. He's riding in as a king, a victorious leader who is worthy of a crown. Now, to be sure, he does not look like any king these people have ever seen. He's not riding in on a white stallion. He's not wearing a golden crown. He has no sword or shield or armor. No, he's riding in on a donkey. He's wearing the cloth of a poor rabbi. There is no hint of wealth or power. He is a humble king coming into Jerusalem. But what I want you to hear is that he is a king. He is indeed a king, and one day the world would know him as the King of Kings. And that kind of leads me to what I want us to talk about today. I want us to think about the kingship of Jesus in a particular way. I want us to think about it from the perspective of a central question for this sermon. And that central question is, who was the first person to crown Jesus king? Who was the first person in the Gospel of Luke to honor Jesus in a way that crowned him king? And so it's kind of interesting. You would think that the religious elite of the day would have been the first group or the first people to crown Jesus king, and that would be the Pharisees, right? Because they had all of the scriptures. They knew all of the prophecies. They had committed to memory many of the things that would project and predict the coming of this long-awaited king. And yet it's quite interesting that their response is not to that of a king. What we know is that they actually, at one point in the early in the Gospels, had rejected Jesus as king, that they had called him a fraud, that they'd shined a negative light on him. And so, typical to their style, in the end of this Luke passage, they continue to critique and reject Jesus. And Jesus, it's kind of interesting. He becomes very emotional about all of this. And it's quite powerful words that Luke offers us that I read just a moment ago. Jesus is weeping. He's very moved by all of this. He's weeping because he says to them, "You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." And it's a sad moment that these religious leaders, these pastors, these Pharisees fail to crown Jesus as king. Oh, but they will crown him with a different crown later. And so if it wasn't the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who were the ones to first crown Jesus as king? And I guess the next candidate to be the ones to crown Jesus as king would have been Jesus' disciples and perhaps also the worshipers who lined the roads leading into Jerusalem that day. I mean, surely Jesus' disciples, surely the one who would be known as the Apostle Peter would be the ones to crown Jesus as king. Surely when Jesus was striding into Jerusalem and all the crowd had gathered and they were waving palms and laying cloaks in the road and they were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest," surely that was the moment when Jesus was crowned king in Luke's gospel. Now, I normally would say yes at the moment. That's exactly what it looks like. But if you read the rest of the story, you know that so many other things happen that week in Jerusalem that it nullifies, in a sense, what happened on the way in. And we see a very different response from the disciples and the crowds. And I'm not sure which one is worse. I mean, once Jesus is taken in and he's put on trial and he's beaten and all of these things are happening, we know that the disciples kind of disband. They kind of take off. And Peter, the guy that said, "Oh, I'm going to be the one to die for you. I'm going to be the guy that stands by you. I'm your man." He denies knowing Jesus three times. And that's what happens to the disciples and the crowds themselves. I mean, it's kind of haunting. But just a few days later, Pilate is holding Jesus up to the public and saying, "I don't know what to do with him. What do you want me to do with him?" And the very palm-waving, Hosanna-shouting crowds of people, now they're shouting, "Crucify! Crucify! Crucify him!" And so obviously, kind of shocking that the disciples and the crowds of people that filled the streets that day, they are not the first to crown Jesus as king. And so we're kind of running out of options in this story, right? I mean, the Pharisees were clearly not the first to crown Jesus as king. And the people who lined the streets and they had a ticker tape parade for Jesus, they were not the first to crown Jesus as king. And the disciples themselves, it's kind of shocking. These guys that gave up their hearts and lives and they followed Jesus around for most of his life, they were not the first to crown Jesus king. Peter, the one who would hold the keys to the kingdom, was not the first to crown Jesus as king. And so in this story, the question stands out to me, who was the first person to crown Jesus as king? And here's where I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to go with Max Lucado on this one. Do y'all know Max Lucado, the Texas preacher, the Christian author? Here's what he says. He says the first person to crown Jesus as king in the Gospel of Luke was the guy with the donkey. Yes, look at your neighbor and say it was the guy with the donkey. Please do that. It was the guy with the donkey. Are you... And that's what Max Lucado says. And of course, he was the one who enabled the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, which says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and doing what? Riding on a donkey." That's right, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So this is amazing. This is the guy who crowned Jesus first as king. It was the guy with the donkey of all things in this story. How unusual is that? And I'm thinking, what do we know about this guy with the donkey? We don't know much. We don't know his name. We don't know his profession. We don't know if he's from Iowa or Wisconsin, which one of those, we're not sure. We don't know much about this guy. We don't know what this guy did with this very famous donkey. I mean, seriously, did he sell the donkey on eBay? You know, did he have the donkey stuffed? Just like, you know, Roy Rogers' horse Trigger is stuffed. What did he do with the donkey? We don't know anything about this guy. All we know is that when he gave Jesus a donkey, he was crowned king. I think that's kind of too cool for school. I really do. You know, what does that teach us is the question. What do we learn from the guy who gave Jesus the donkey? All right, number one, we learn that we all have a donkey to give. Look at your neighbor and say this, get off your donkey, Jesus needs it. Come on, do that for me. Look at your neighbor, get off your donkey. You've been sitting on that donkey way too long. Jesus needs your donkey. He does. He absolutely does. And every single person in this room has something to offer the master that might enable the master or somebody else to get to Jerusalem. Every single person has a donkey to offer, has a talent, has a gift, has a grace that is needed. Maybe you have a musical ability, then you need to be in the choir or in the praise team. Maybe you are a talented computer person, then you need to serve the major IT needs of Birmingham United Methodist Church. Maybe you are talented with Pro Presenter. Thank you, Kevin Keaton and Will Barfield and the whole history of people that have been back there helping us with Pro Presenter. Everybody has a talent to give, and God wants to use your talent to enable someone to ride into Jerusalem or to ride into the heart of Jesus. Everybody, look at your neighbor, say, you've got a donkey to give. Please do that. You've got a donkey to give. You know, it's all over the Bible, these donkey givers. You know, if you read the story early in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus was calling his first disciples and he was teaching, I don't know, hundreds, maybe thousands of people, and he was standing at the edge of the sea and he needed to create a situation where people could hear him. So he wanted to stand out on the water and preach and teach, and the water, you know, would form this kind of sound situation. And so what did he do? He walked over to Simon. He didn't know him yet as Simon Peter. And he said, hey, can I borrow your boat? And listen, this is too cool for school too. This is the first time a secular object was used for a sacred purpose, right? So Simon's like, sure, you can have my boat. And right then, he offered a boat so that the sacred thing could happen. He did. He offered a boat so that the sacred thing could happen. Jesus could teach the people. I love this story where once again, Jesus was teaching thousands of people, and Jesus was kind of exhausted, but he wandered around came over in a boat off the Lake of Galilee, and the people followed him. They were so hungry for his words, and all of these folks showed up, and Jesus looked at his disciples and said, man, they're hungry, they are thirsty. How are we going to feed these people? And the disciples kind of wig out, like, what are you talking about? It would be 8 months' wages. We're not sure we could do that, and they're kind of freaking out. But one of them has this little boy. He's offering 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus is like, snap, that's all we need. And he was a donkey giver. He was this little boy. Jesus, before Pilate, the people are shouting, crucify, crucify. He's beaten, he's whipped, he's taken to the cross. He's hanging on the cross. He's giving his life on the cross. Even Jesus was a donkey. That we learn from this guy with the donkey, that we all have a talent, a gift, a grace that God has, that God has given us, that God wants to use in us. Number two, we learn that when we are willing to give that donkey, that grace, that talent selflessly, when we are willing to give that ability, that talent sacrificially, that we crown Jesus as King. And I love the story of the young boy who was sitting near the park bench one spring afternoon, and he was looking out onto the field where his friends were playing baseball. And he was just sitting there, and an older man came up, and he sat down by the boy, and they just kind of broke into this wonderful conversation about how beautiful the weather was. They talked about the school that he went to. They talked about family. And they had this great conversation. And pretty soon, the older man said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, if you had 3 wishes, if you had 3 wishes that you knew could be responded to positively, what would those 3 wishes be? And that little boy, he sat there and he thought for just a minute and he said, well, you know, I guess it sounds kind of corny, but I'd wish for world peace and that people would be happy and that everybody would get along together. That would be my first wish. And then secondly, he said, you know, I wish everybody would go to church. That's what I wish. And then thirdly, he said, I have a good friend who has poor eyesight. He's nearly blind. I wish that my good friend Billy could see again, that's what I wish. And when the man heard this, he was kind of flabbergasted by what he'd heard from the little boy. And he just kind of got up and he shook his head. And the little boy was taken aback by how this man had responded to his wishes. And then he snapped his braces together on his legs. And he got up and he That's what it looks like to crown Jesus as King. When you love people selflessly and sacrificially, that's what it looks like to wave a palm and lay a cloak in the road and give a donkey for Jesus. And listen, 500 years from now, as we enjoy God's kingdom, as we remember our time on earth, we're not going to remember everything that happens to us. We're not going to remember how much money we made. We're not going to remember, you know, how big our house was or what kind of popularity we achieved in life. But here's what we will remember and we will celebrate. We will celebrate forever every single donkey that we gave to the Master. That's what we'll remember. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Loving God, we thank you for Palm Sunday. We thank you for this, I think, penetrating question. Who was the first person to crown Jesus as king? I thank you, Lord, for this guy with the donkey, because he reminds us that even in small ways, what we give to Jesus can change a lot of things. It can change a lot of hearts. It can change a lot of people. It can change our world. And so today, Lord, we leave you offering to you our donkeys. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.